Married by Tony Bagley.
Now you're looking at a man that's getting kind of mad. I had a lot to look, but it's all been bad. No matter how struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive.
They're only privatizing the roads. The King's Speech, the government's privatizing the roads.
Fair's fair. Maybe the private sector will inject some new thinking.
And they're introducing legislation so people can win an operation on the lottery.
That's good, isn't it?
Well, it says here you can only win certain kinds of operations. You can't win an operation for sexually transmitted diseases. Not respectable enough.
Look at all the other operations you can win. Pulpy kidney, autumn hay disease.
No, they're animal diseases. You're looking at the wrong page. They're legalising fox hunting.
Fair's fair. It was in their manifesto. Have you seen a puffin after a fox has got through with it?
They're going to give local councils the power to ban breastfeeding in public. I suppose you're going to tell me that's in the manifesto too.
Fair's fair. A lot of folk find it offensive.
If you say fair's fair just one more time. You know, you've become as reactionary as Robin.
Which one?
Oh, the old murder would have put himself on the line for a cause he believed in.
How can you say that, my little old cake? I've put myself on the line time and time again for GMOs.
Well, you won't have to anymore. The government are going to legalise them. You voted for them. You voted for the Tories.
I just felt it was time for a change, that's all. And they did promise to set up the Stoolball Task Force.
Oh, well, that makes up for everything.
It is our national game. Something's got to be done about the violence at Stoolball matches.
Where are you off to?
I thought I'd finish the painting at the refuge.
But it's Sunday.
I don't want to be here when Robin arrives. It gets tiresome being on the receiving end of his anally retentive sarcasm.
I wonder if Robin's responsible for the hate mail we're getting at the refuge.
Hate mail? Why would I send you hate mail when I can abuse you to your face?
No, I'd put nothing past you.
What summits of evil are left for me to scale? Doing unspeakable things to koi poos, perhaps?
I'm taking this seriously if you're not. There are people out there called men who see the refuge as responsible for splitting up families. As if we beat up their wives.
Well, what do you expect? The early feminist movement got this sort of treatment in my universe. Don't worry, after the first 15 years, it'll be plain sailing.
Oh, you're good. In fact, I forgot just how good you are. Maybe it's living with a man who's supportive, who isn't forever undermining me.
I thought I was supporting Murdo, keeping you both in the style to which you're unaccustomed. I'm keeping two adults, two children and two guinea pigs. Feel like Noah. Not to mention a baby on the way. Rest assured, I shan't shirk my responsibilities on that front.
You got what you wanted. You even pretended to be from a parallel universe so you could get your divorce.
Why would I continue to pretend after the divorce? Wouldn't I take pleasure from pointing out how you walked gullibly into my trap?
But you didn't get everything you wanted. You were angling for a maintenance-free environment. That's where your plan came unstuck. I wonder, would you still persist with this alternative universe stuff if I agreed to cut the maintenance?
Don't expect me to go down on my knees. Being an emotional cripple, I can't do all that stuff.
Yes, well, I've got used to living with someone who isn't an emotional cripple.
It's quite fulfilling being an emotional cripple, actually. You get so much more out of life. Mainly because people expect so much less of you. Anyway, where is Murdo?
At the refuge. That's the kind of man he is, you see. Unlike some people, he believes in giving something back to society.
A veritable pillock of the community. You've got a Newsnight presenter living at your refuge, by the way. Well, she's not a Newsnight presenter in this world. No Newsnight, ergo no Newsnight presenters. Probably explains why she's fallen on hard times.
Where are you taking the kids?
The fairground. You know, I look forward to my access day, even though I'm not their father.
You look forward to your access day because it's a chance to come round here and needle Murdo.
No, you come to the maiden.
You haven't lived until you've sat with the puffins, Angie. The experience is almost mystical. I just want you to know I'm here for you. It can't be easy for a woman like you, living in a place like this, with the others. You're not like them, Angie.
Living here is not something I would have chosen.
Of course not, I understand. Women without men.
That part of it I was up for. After Gary.
You've been unlucky, Angie. Not all men are like Gary.
What are you doing, Murdo?
Just a little kiss, Angie.
Murdo?
Don't pretend you don't want to. Come on, Angie. You know I'm crazy about you.
No!
I need the comfort of a woman's body.
I mean it, Murdo.
Okay, Angie. No problem. I understand. I can respect where you're coming from.
I feel sick.
Mum and Murdo argue all the time these days. Not just so they can make up again afterwards.
How one savours tales of rancour between lovers.
Mum doesn't love Murdo. It's just a rebound relationship.
He makes me recite my tables while I'm flying my kite.
He's got no right. I got you that kite.
And he's always telling me what time I've got to be in.
I feel sick.
Well, of course you feel sick. You went on a ride that pitches centrifugal force against gravitational pull. This is Vomit City. As a vision of hell, even Dante would be unnerved.
Why doesn't he go back to his puffins? Can't we mutilate him or something to encourage him?
Being an emotional cripple, I'm not really into the touchy-feely world of the psychopath. I'm more of a verbal psychopath.
Dad would have mutilated him.
Yes, well, I'm not your father.
Can't you pretend? Any time before I leave home will do, just to show you can.
Oh, cutting. Almost worthy of a daughter of mine.
Why do you keep this up? I never believed this parallel universe stuff, even when you were living with us.
It's not an act. I saw our real dad trying to get back to this universe.
Can we go now? I'm too old to be accompanied to the fair by a person who may or may not be a parent. I might be seen by someone.
Or maybe we'll go to a stool ball match next week.
I feel sick.
My access day gives a structure to my week. Okay, I know they're not my children, but what would I do if I didn't take them out on Sunday?
What all the other sad, friendless, middle-aged blokes do on Sunday? Sit in the park and read the papers.
I've got friends. It's just that they're all back in my universe.
Yeah, I bet you didn't have any friends there either.
Look, why are you in such a good mood? 5 minutes ago you were climbing into coffins and stalking golfing celebs.
Is happiness a crime?
Yes, and don't chortle good-naturedly. I can't stand people who chortle good-naturedly. I can get all that in Dickens.
You're responsible for my good-natured chortling. I owe you one. You introduced us.
Huh?
Kirsty and I.
I didn't think she was interested.
If at first you don't succeed...
All the world loves a lover.
Once you look beneath the Mohican and tattoos, you can almost believe she's a presenter of... What does she present in your universe?
Newsnight.
We go for long walks and just talk... So I'd given up on finding a kindred spirit in this pitiless world. No longer to have to go through life with this void inside me, this loneliness, this gnawing emptiness. And Kirsty's stared into the abyss too. She's fallen as low as any woman can.
And now she's going out with you.
I've never known such happiness. Well, perhaps happiness is the wrong word. I'm happy and yet not happy, if you see what I mean. The idea that happiness might be at any moment snatched away makes me unhappy.
Just don't ask me to be best man, that's all.
We've agreed to take things slowly. She's been unlucky with men, you see. They've let her down. Let her down badly.
No, they haven't. She's living at that refuge under false pretenses.
In fact, we've both been let down by men.
You haven't lived until you've sat with puffins, Kirsty. The experience is almost mystical. I just want you to know I'm here for you. Living in a place like this must present problems for a sensitive woman like you. You're not like the others. There's something about you, something special. Apart from the fact you're Scots, that is. So, how about a little kiss? Just to show we're friends. Don't pretend you don't want to. You're clearly a passionate woman. And I need the comfort of a woman's body. Ouch! That's not very nice, Kirsty. If you're not nice, I'll have to tell Leslie you're a disruptive influence on the others. And you know what that means, don't you? She didn't want to take you in the first place. This is a refuge for abused women, and you haven't even come out of an abusive relationship.
Hey, what's going on?
Who the hell do you think you are? This area's off limits to men.
Well, what are you doing here, then?
I help out.
It's okay, Kirsty. I'm here now.
Touching.
I'm going to report you to Leslie.
And you think you'll be believed? And what about you, Kirsty? Will you be substantiating your friend's story? No, didn't think so.
He was sexually harassing my Kirsty. He threatened to get her chucked out of the women's refuge if she didn't surrender to his lust.
He's using the vulnerability of these women to elicit sexual favours.
Kirsty had to restrain me. I mean, I was all for punching his lights out.
We've got him, Dirk. All Kirsty has to do is bring this to Leslie's attention and Murdo will be on his way back to his puffins.
Kirsty?
Well, it's got to be Kirsty. I have zero minus credibility with Leslie. So have you. So she'll think I've put you up to it.
No, forget it. Kirsty's too scared to say anything.
That's not the Kirsty I know. On Newsnight, she's fearless. Look, we've got to give her a fallback position. Tell her she can move in with you.
Oh, I see. This fallback position we're going to give her is in reality the fallback position I'm going to give her.
Well, you said you've never known such happiness.
I went on to say I was happy and yet not happy. Besides, happiness is a funny thing. It's best kept at arm's length. You should never invite it to move in with you.
I thought you're trying to look beyond the woman on display, to the woman underneath.
I am. I just haven't quite mastered it yet, that's all.
Oh, if you're worried about a criminal record,
What criminal record?
Well, for torching phone kiosks.
Eh?
Well, one phone kiosk.
What?
In fact, she's probably innocent, just in the wrong place at the wrong time. Look, she didn't even go to prison. She couldn't have been such a threat to society if they only tagged her.
Hmm. The woman underneath is proving harder to find all the time.
She torched phone boxes. Well, one phone box. Perhaps not even a phone box. Only because life had dealt her a series of blows. She was saying to the world that she mattered too.
Yeah, well, she might say it to my house.
But this is probably my only chance to nail Murdo. And if that means your house burning down, that's a price I'm willing to pay. You're a man of straw, Dirk. I expected better of you than this.
Straw's very combustible.
How will you be able to look yourself in the face if you fail to grasp the nettle of justice?
Easy. Well, stop shaving. Then I won't need to look myself in the face as I fail to grasp that nettle of justice.
Do I recall the words, I owe you one, mate?
You bastard. Okay, I'll tell her she can move in.
Morning has broken like the first morning. Blackbird has spoken like the first bird. Jeez. Not for a minute there. Someone was behind the shower curtain. There is. The curtain moved.
Is that you, Ned? It's not funny, lad. I'm on the bog.
Ned went to school an hour ago. I shouldn't have called out. Now I've told him I know he's here. Oh, I hate it when I do that.
Is that you, Ned? McAndrew exclaimed. Not funny, lad. I'm on the bog, he added. Catch 22 must be the best book about the illicit Glasgow alcohol scene ever written.
Oh, I'm out of here before he decides to...
No, don't!
Oh, he's only allowed it. Hello? What, now? This minute? Oh, can't it wait till my access day? I'm watching the Stoolball European Cup semi-finals. England versus Portugal. Well, why can't your mother deal with it? Accident? What sort of accident? Oh, dear, what a shame. Poor old Murdo. Okay, I'll come over. Oh, no, that was definitely a foul. She hit her with her bat. Where is he, then?
Where he was when I phoned you.
What? Hasn't he come round yet?
He's dead.
Yes! I mean, that's terrible. A life so full of promise cut short.
I can see this has come as a shock.
Oh, no, my triumphalism was a nervous reaction. Of course I don't want him dead. Not now. After we've grassed him up, maybe. He could have died then, but frankly, now's inconvenient.
I expect it's inconvenient for him, too. What do you mean, grass him up?
Oh, he's been exploiting the women at the refuge to elicit sexual favours.
He's been two-timing mum.
Now, let's have a look. Oh, my God, Homer Simpson boxer shorts. The man's had a taste bypass.
Is that all you can say? A life has been blighted here today.
Oh, you're right. He didn't deserve this.
I'm not talking about Murdo. I'm talking about me. My life has been blighted. I stumbled upon the body of my mother's lover. That's going to have dire psychological effects on my development as a fully rounded human being.
You didn't find him? I did.
No, you didn't.
I saw him before you.
No, you didn't.
Tell me you didn't, boy.
He didn't.
I did.
I mean, tell me you didn't push him downstairs, did you?
I didn't.
What makes you think he was pushed? Maybe he just fell.
Well, why would he be trying to get downstairs with his boxers round his ankles?
He'd just come from the bathroom.
How do you know?
He left clues. Want me to spell it out?
Interesting. Clearly he didn't have time to finish his ablutions or pull up his boxers. But not that interesting. In fact, I'm bored already.
What are you doing?
Pulling up his boxers. Now he fell down the stairs. Anyway, he wouldn't want a lot of strangers trooping in here with his bare bum stuck in the air like that.
That's tampering with the evidence.
It might be the difference between death by misadventure and murder most foul. And in a universe that still has the death penalty, that's no mere subtlety. By the way, where's your mother? Does she know yet?
That he fell down the stairs. No, she doesn't know he fell down the stairs. I tried ringing her at work to tell her he fell down the stairs, but she wasn't there.
Hello. What's wrong?
This is the third time DC Joyce and myself have been here. First, your daughter's under suspicion for housebreaking. Then you're under suspicion for murdering your daughter along with her mother and brother. And now this.
Well, we're one of those families that likes to live on the edge.
Yet you all seem so normal. Very normal. Too normal.
And we are. Just every so often we stumble upon a body in the hallway.
My poor Murdo. Dead.
Yes, can't you see you're upsetting my wife with your probing questions? Her lover's just fallen downstairs with fatal consequences.
What makes you think he fell, Mr. Lightfoot?
What are you implying? That he was pushed? That he stumbled downstairs with his boxes round his ankles and I pulled them up to give the impression he fell?
He didn't harbour a grudge, then. He was your ex-wife's lover, after all.
A grudge? Moi? No, I had a lot of time for Murdo. He was a pillar. He was a pillar of the community. The hours he put in down at the refuge. You see, because that's the kind of man he was. He believed in giving something back to those poor women.
Yes, he was a good man. Oh, God, Murdo!
Listen, he gave something back, all right. He was exploiting the vulnerability of the women to elicit sexual favours. I didn't want to say anything while Leslie was here, obviously.
Obviously.
So you're saying you're not the only one with a motive? Is that what you're trying to convey to us?
Absolutely. Apart from the women themselves, there are the blokes involved with the women. They've got a motive too. And my mate Dirk caught Murdo with his girl, Kirsty. Then there's the hate mail they've been getting at the refuge.
So just about everyone except you has got a motive, even though the victim is your ex-wife's lover?
Then there's Maxine and Ned. They didn't care for Murdo.
Oh, grass up your own kids, why don't you?
They're not my kids, they're real fathers living in a parallel universe.
You tried that one last time we arrested you for murder.
It's a family joke we fall back on in times of stress and travail.
Hilarious.
Well, private jokes don't travel.
Well, I expect I'm contributing to your stockpile of private jokes as we speak. Doubtless you'll have a good old laugh at me after I leave.
Why would I wait till you leave? I've brought you some tea.
Go away.
Now, you don't have to worry about the kids' dinner. All taken care of. I want to be useful during this time of stress and travail. Besides, baby on the way, you've got to take it easy.
Go away!
Now, I may have given the impression that Murdo's death has left me intoxicated with happiness. Well, nothing could be further from the truth. For me, triumphalism is a nervous reaction, nothing more. Being an emotional cripple, I'm incapable of accessing my true feelings.
So, while on the outside you give the impression you're intoxicated with happiness, inside you're really intoxicated with happiness.
Inside, all I feel is despair at the utter senseless waste.
Maybe that might be more convincing if you weren't grinning from ear to ear.
It's a serene smile to comfort my ex-wife on the death of her lover.
I don't want to be comforted by you. And if for one moment you think this presents you with an opportunity to step into the shoes occupied by my murderer...
Hold up! He stepped into my shoes!
I loved him so much! And yet I didn't, if you see what I mean. To love someone and yet not to love them is to love and yet not to love. It's not that he didn't have faults. How can you love and yet not love someone and not be aware of their faults?
So he had a few faults. Who hasn't got faults?
Yes, but he had a lot of faults. I don't think just because someone's died we should romanticise them.
No, but it's equally wrong to slag them off before rigor mortis has set in.
Do you know, he admitted he voted for Blair and the Tories in the election. Actually, he didn't admit it. I had to ask him. Then he admitted it.
Well, look, at least he admitted it eventually.
But he should have admitted it without being goaded into admitting it.
He's no different to anyone else. People never own up to voting Tory. It makes them feel dirty somehow. Anyway, the Scots always vote Tory. That's why the rest of us in socialist Surrey have been lumbered with this government. The sooner the home counties get devolution, the better.
But he voted for them because they were going to set up a stoolball task force.
Well, it is the national game. Someone's got to do something about stoolball hooligans.
You're right, I suppose. We should remember the good things about people.
Yeah, exactly. It's nothing I can put my finger on, but I've got a nagging feeling I've missed an opportunity here.
Dead?
A life so full of promise cut short.
But I've told Kirsty she can move in.
So?
So if Murdo's dead, he can't get her chucked out of the refuge.
So?
So I needn't have invited her to move in with me.
Well, you've only got yourself to blame. If you hadn't been so eager to do the right thing.
I did the right thing for you.
Oh, it's not the end of the world. You've got a Newsnight presenter living with you. The kudos.
Kudos? What kudos? She's not a Newsnight presenter in this universe. Here she's got a Mohican and tattoos, and she got done for torching phone boxes.
Allegedly. Look, Dirk, use your imagination. Visualise her as she is in my world.
Maybe you've been using your imagination. I mean, how do I know this universe exists?
Sometimes I wonder if it does. The longer I'm here, the more my previous reality seems like a dream. Well, did I imagine it all? Did I imagine Newsnight? Kirsty introducing Newsnight? Me falling asleep in front of Kirsty and Newsnight?
Maybe you read it in a sci-fi novel.
Hey, and why don't I write it?
Hey?
A novel about a bloke from this universe who wakes up in my universe. I won't even have to make anything up. It's all there. A universe in which Surrey votes Tory, and Blair's leader of the Labour Party, and there's just one Archbishop of Canterbury instead of two. And football's the national game.
Football? Nobody'd believe that.
Hello? What? Say that again? Thanks, Maxine. The police are treating Murdo's death as suspicious. It's now a murder inquiry.
A murder inquiry? That means I'm a prime suspect!
Dirk!
You've told them I was furious that Murdo had tried it on with my Kirsty! You grass me up!
Dirk!
They'll be around here to grill me! I'll confess to anything they want me to confess to! I know I will! I always cave in under pressure!
They've already arrested someone! Kirsty!
Yes! It's terrible.
Dirk, this is the woman who's made you happy.
Yeah, I forgot. I'm all mixed up. I don't know what's more important to me anymore. My happiness or my house burning down?
My God, Dirk, if you don't know the answer to that...
My house burning down? That's the wrong answer. I can tell by your expression. My Kirsty's innocent. She wouldn't hurt a fly.
Well, we've got two witnesses to say she'd been seen hanging around outside Lightfoot's house.
Look, we're very busy.
You fitted her up, Cotton, just as you tried to fit me up.
She probably went there to have it out with Murdo.
So she does have a motive then?
Yes. No. Well, only insofar as he said he'd chuck her out the refuge if she didn't sleep with him.
Dirk's got a motive too, don't forget. It was his girl Murdo was coming on to. Why aren't you arresting Dirk?
Yeah, why aren't you arresting me?
I'll tell you why. Because Dirk's a respectable middle-class male with a business, a pillar of the community, and Kirsty's a working-class female with a record for torching a stupid little phone box or two. She can go down for this and nobody'll care.
Wrong. I care. Anyway, she might be the dregs here, but in Robin's universe, she introduces a flagship current affairs programme.
Eh?
Well, we don't get it here. Everything's relative, you see. Here, she's nobody. In another universe, she's a goddess of current affairs.
Of course. It was staring me in the face. The boxer shorts.
What about them?
Murdo was wearing Homer Simpson boxers. Can anyone tell me who Homer Simpson is? Of course you can't, because the Simpsons don't exist in this universe.
So you're saying...
The other Robin killed him. Murdo was in the bathroom and the other Robin appeared in the shower, just as he did before. This isn't the first time he's tried to get back from my world.
Only this time he sees a strange bloke sitting on the bog and consumed by a jealous rage, he does the dastardly deed.
Exactly. But that's not enough for Robin. He wants people to know he's been here, so he swaps boxers with Nerdo. For Robin, leaving his boxers is like running your flag up on the hill your army has just taken. He's saying this is what happens to blokes who take what's mine.
Swap boxers with them, you mean?
No, kill them, you nincompoop.
Well, all that sounds very convincing, Lightfoot. Apart from the bit about the other Robin. Substitute you for him, and you've made rather a tasty case against yourself.
I would never... never wear Homer Simpson boxer shorts.
Actually, we do get the Simpsons here, on DDT Choice. It's probably why you haven't seen it. Nobody watches DDT Choice.
Really? Oh, well, never mind, just a thought. Kirsty probably did kill him then.
Dad. Bye, Dad.
What was that noise?
Dad being sucked back into the other universe.
Yeah, right.
There can't be any doubt, Leslie. Murdo was systematically using his position here to sexually exploit the women. It was the last straw for my poor Kirsty.
I see.
Fair's fair, Dirk. Maybe it was just a one-off. Maybe he got carried away in the excitement of the moment. Kirsty's Mohican, her tattoos.
I saw him in action, remember? He was good. Take it from one who knows. Even I could learn from him.
Oh, fair's fair, Dirk. We don't know if he...
That's right. One of the other women has come forward. Angie. Murdo tried it on with her, too. He abused the trust I put in him.
Well, fair's fair. Maybe...
If you say fair's fair one more time, there'll be another murder. If you'll excuse me, I need to be alone.
Yes, I need to be alone, too.
Should I have comforted her, do you think? She was clearly upset. Well, this is what comes of being an emotional cripple, you see. You don't know when to comfort or when not to comfort.
But I was on the threshold of happiness. Well, when I say happiness, it was happiness, and yet it wasn't happiness.
Whatever it was, Dirk, you glimpsed it, and then it was cruelly snatched away.
Cruelly snatched away.
Just as Leslie glimpsed it with Murdo, and it was cruelly snatched away.
Happiness exists only to be cruelly snatched away.
You know, it's odd. In my world, Kirsty would be asking probing questions of a system that penalises women like her.
Well, I'm going to ask them. As she can't, I will. I won't rest until she's free.
So you can be happy and yet not be happy again?
We both can. In my house. On the other hand, my questions might not be probing enough and she might hang.
Well, you should certainly be prepared for that possibility.
Then she wouldn't be able to move in with me.
Well, clearly not.
Perhaps the sooner I prepare myself for that, the sooner I can get on with my life. In my house. Without Kirsty.
Undoubtedly.
I suppose I should start preparing now, then.
Whatever the outcome, our lives have been touched irrevocably by this. Things will never be the same again. The scar tissue will be there for life. Do you fancy watching the stoolball semi-finals on telly?
You're on.
Looking at a man is getting kind of mad. I had a lot to look, but it's all been bad. No matter how struggle and strive, I'll ever get out of this world alive.
In Married by Tony Bagley, Hugh Bonneville was Robin, Josie Lawrence Leslie, Stephen Frost was Dirk, Lewis MacLeod was Murdo and D.C. Joyce, Simon Roberts was D.S. Cotton, Sam Bradley, Ned, and Gosling was Maxine. Other parts were played by members of the cast. The producer was Claire Jones.
I feel sick.
Hate stool ball.
Well, maybe you could have mentioned something last week when I said I'd be bringing you to a stool ball match this week.
Well, I'm mentioning it now. I'm too old to hang out with someone who might or might not be a parent.
I feel sick.
You said you were too old to hang out at the fairground with someone who might or might not be a parent.
Well, I'm older this week. This week I'm too old to hang out anywhere with someone who might or might not be a parent.
I'd be hurt by that comment if I weren't an emotional cripple.
I feel sick.